time to take control of your happiness. This is Being Young at Any Age on EZ 1430. Now, here's your host, George Bentley.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is George Bentley, your host of Being Young at Any Age, your self-directed roadmap to health, wellness, and vitality, no matter what your current challenges might be. And as you know, I like to describe this concept as how to die young at an early age. We all have the ability, I believe, to live to be at least 120 years old. Why do I say that? As we've discussed on previous shows, we know we can live to be 120 years old because of Ms. Jean Clement, who actually is documented to have lived to the age of 122 years. And as I've said in previous shows, Ms. Clement has become sort of a role model for me. So as I've been on this path for the last 15 years, I have decided that I really want to try to help people get the knowledge that they need. And as I say, try to dumb it down to the point that, you know, it's easy to consume. It's easy for us to get overwhelmed with the idea of how do I stay healthy? How do I stay vibrant? How do I stay safe in my home? These concepts can be complicated. For example, dieting. I could fill this room up with all the diet books that are out there, but nutrition doesn't necessarily have to be complicated. And I've boiled this down into what I call four secrets, or four major buckets of content. And I put a lot of information into each one of these, but I try to simplify it. Basically, the four secrets are eat right, exercise, avoid injury, and reduce stress. And in previous shows, we've already discussed the importance of humor, which is, I think, the most powerful medication that we can possibly take because it has a natural healing effect. And laughter is truly one of the strongest and most positive activities that we can do. Our mind literally suspends judgment, and all stress is relieved from our bodies when we're in the process of laughter. So laugh every day. My father and I have a commitment to each other that we won't get out of bed in the morning without saying quite sincerely to ourselves, and in fact, I did it this morning, before my feet hit the floor to start my day, I tell myself, this is going to be the best day of my life, and really mean it. And I do that every day. The other part of our agreement was we wouldn't go to bed at night and allow our feet to leave the floor to go to sleep to end the day without having made at least one other person laugh in the course of the day. So you can imagine, as I say, how popular my father is. He's highly thought of in his senior community there in Arkansas, where I was raised, because he's a funny guy. People like to be around him. And that translates into positive energy. Today, I want to talk about two overlapping areas. I would put this in the eat right category primarily, but it also impacts our exercise category a little bit. If I have time, we'll get into it today. But before I start the show, I would like to give you kind of a heads up. You know, we've got some expert guests coming on the show over the next 3 weeks, and I'm just really excited. We're going to have Lisa Harris, who is author of the book Building Your Enduring Fitness. And if you're watching on the video hookups, this is Lisa's book here. Great little book. We're also going to have Mr. Mark McIntosh. Some of you may know Mark. He's a kind of a TV celebrity here, was a sports guy for many years on Channel 9, did the color shows with the Coach McCartney. And now Mark is very active in a nonprofit called A Stronger Cord that he's been building. And it's about helping folks in addiction come out of that and build their lives by working and exercising and integrating into society in, again, very healthy and positive ways. And again, we're going to have lots of other folks on the show as we go along to talk about. I don't have all this information, and that's not what I'm suggesting to you. I'm not the source of the knowledge that you need to be able to be young at any age, but I can help deliver that. And what I've done is I describe this as I'm a curious George. You know, the only reason I know what I know is I keep asking questions, and I challenge you, and this is very important to me. And I'm going to keep repeating it, and you're going to hear it over and over again. We are in control of our lives. We are in control of our destiny. We're in control of our health and our vitality. No one else can do it for us. But we have lots of sources of information, especially today with all the technology and the internet and everything that's out there. We're inundated with sources of information. And it's up to us to filter through that. It's up to us to question whether we agree with what we're being exposed to or not. And that means we have to do some investigation. We have to look into it so that we can inform ourselves and decide for ourselves whether we actually agree with this information or disagree. And that's why I say, you don't need to believe everything I say. That's fine. But if you disagree with something I'm saying to you or one of the guests is saying on this show, you should ask yourself why and be able to answer that question intelligently based on independently gathered information and thought. The other side of that is if you agree with what I'm saying or disagree, it doesn't matter. You still say why. And that third step of asking why is really what it's all about. So today, I'm going to talk about the fact that in the United States today, we are a drug culture. We are very committed to and somewhat addicted to the concept of prescription medications. The healthcare system today is amazing, and I want to say right up front, do not misunderstand my message here. I am so excited, and I'm a huge proponent of cutting-edge technologies and medicines and the things that we can do. Science, medical science, is evolving and expanding at such a rapid pace today, and it's truly amazing. The medical technologies that we have out there, the pharmaceutical options that we have for dealing with health problems and issues is just wonderful. It's a very, very positive thing. But there is no one-size-fits-all solution, and there isn't an answer to all of life's problems that come in a bottle. So I'm suggesting that we need to educate ourselves about these things, and we need to ask questions. And that might mean digging a little bit. That might mean doing some research before you take a prescription medication from a doctor. You know, I told you guys the story of my mom. My mom was 83 years old, healthy as a horse. Nana Schwarzenegger, I called her. She worked out 5 days a week. She didn't have any of the degenerative and age-related health problems that my father and my aunts and uncles all had. She was very healthy. But then she had an avoidable accident. She had an injury. And that's one of those big buckets, right? Avoid injury. We're driving around in this vessel, this vehicle, our body. We're putting things into our body, and we're wrecking our bodies, right? I mentioned on a previous show, what we put in our body, part of the eat right, is the fuel. You know, what are we exposing our physical vehicle to? What kind of quality of fuel are we putting into this? We had Dr. Dominique Taylor on the show a couple of weeks ago, who was addressing this issue for us from her perspective. And it's very important. The avoid injury aspect is like wrecking your car. The difference is I can't just slap a new fender on my body. Again, with technology, we're getting closer. We're getting closer all the time. How many of you have or know somebody that's had parts replaced, right? Knee replacements, hip replacements. I told you the story. My dad, 99 years old, had his aortic valve replaced. The most critical valve in his heart was failing. It was calcified over years of age, which is a natural degenerative process. And because of this amazing medical technology that we have now, my father was able to have this valve replaced, and with a non-invasive procedure. I mean, it's amazing. It truly is. The medications that we have available to us are amazing, and we need to promote and endorse continued research into any sort of pharmaceutical or medical process that can help us stay healthy and vibrant and age to 120 years or more. The fact that we absolutely, positively, unquestionably know that we can live to be 120 or older, because again of Jean Clement documented, and I'm not telling you there aren't other people who've lived longer than Ms. Clement. There very well may be, but she is one human being whose lifespan is documented and known to be factually accurate, that she lived to be 122 years old. There are people walking on this earth right now who sincerely believe that in my lifetime, we'll figure out how to live to be 200, 300 years old. Amazing, amazing concepts. I don't have that information, but if I can find one of these experts someday, I'll bring them on the show and I'll let them share their information with you. And again, the question is, whether you agree or disagree, you need to be able to say why or why not. So today, I want to talk about the fact that we as consumers have allowed ourselves to become addicted and habitual users of prescription medications. When my mom fell and hurt herself, she was taking no medications, none. My dad, on the other hand, at 83, was not doing very well. He was taking 7 prescription medications. He was depressed. He had chronic pain. His hips were shot. His knees were shot. He had restless leg syndrome. He had high blood pressure. I mean, you know, he just had this plethora of medical conditions, and he was taking a lot of prescription medications. Now, believe it or not, you know, in the United States today, how many prescriptions do you think the average 55-year-old takes? How many would you guess? Well, according to the Center for Disease Control, the average is 5 prescription medications at the age of 55. Okay, I'm 66. At 65, the average is 9. 7 to 9 prescription medications is what the average American takes. Now think about that. Why on earth do we need to be taking 5, 6, 7, 8 different prescription medications? Why? There can only be one answer to that, and that is that we've allowed our health and our body and our vitality to get to the point that we're facing specific medical challenges. And we're going to the healthcare system, and quite frankly, again, I don't mean to be offensive. I'm very grateful and respect and appreciative of our healthcare system, the doctors and the medical talents and technologies that we have available, but it truly is a sick care system. It's a sick care system. That's what we have in the United States. We don't think about providing a medical resource to somebody until that person has a problem. They have an issue. Now we go to try to deal with it. We are not being proactive in this country, and we're not exerting preventative activities. And that's what my message is all about here. We need to be proactive. We need to think about these situations before. My mom, I did not know that she was at risk of hurting herself in this traditional home. I've got a whole segment we're going to do on avoiding injury. And the fact of the matter is, our homes were built, the existing, if it was built before 2015, the odds are your house was designed with the idea that we would die by the time we're 65 years old. Here's a question. Why does Social Security kick in at 65? Why? You know? Well, the reason is, back in the early 1900s, when the Social Security system was being put together, the average life expectancy in the United States was right around 65 years. And Social Security was designed with the idea that by the time we made it to 65, we wouldn't live more than a year, maybe a year and a half. And so it was designed with the idea that was our expected life, 65 years. That's why. That's why that became a retirement number. Again, I talk about dying young at an old age, being young at any age. The fact of the matter is, 65 is just a number. It has absolutely nothing to do with your vitality and your health. My dad at 99, I say, is younger than he was at 83. He's younger now than when my mom fell in 2003. Why? Because he has been proactive and he's thought about these things, right? Okay, so this issue with medications is vitally important, vitally important. My mom did not die in a nursing home almost exactly a year to the day after she fell in the bathtub and broke her hip. My mom died because of iatrogenic conditions. Iatrogenic diseases. What on earth is an iatrogenic illness or disease? And by the way, just as a little side note, according to the American Medical Association, they've finally began to analyze all the data that they've got. And if you look at iatrogenic injuries and illnesses, they really do create the number one leading cause of death in the United States today. So an iatrogenic illness, injury, or disease is an injury, illness, or disease that is caused by therapy, caused by medical care. Are you with me? Do you follow that? So we've got this situation going on in the United States today because we do consume so many pharmaceuticals that we're dealing with an epidemic of adverse drug reactions. They're called ADRs, adverse drug reactions. That's what killed my mom. That's what killed my mom. She went into the hospital. She was in pain. They gave her one of these opioid-based medications. Turns out my mom was a rapid metabolizer of that chemical. That's her genetic predisposition. Her body absorbed those chemicals at a higher rate than the average when they put that chemical composition together and put it into a pill and they start prescribing it to people, okay? She was a rapid metabolizer. Her adverse drug reaction was that she had a stroke. And when my mom had this stroke, she lost 60% of her cognitive ability. Now, she went in the hospital with a broken hip that would probably heal and pretty much resolve within, 2 to 4 weeks, something like that. She was going to be fine. After she had this adverse drug reaction, she lost 60% of her cognitive ability overnight. Now, it wasn't Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a different process. But if you think about it, the way my mom was manifesting in her life after this adverse drug reaction, it was as if she developed full-blown Alzheimer's overnight. She was confused, she was disoriented, she was angry. And now think about this, when my mom finally got to go home, my dad was the primary caregiver. And what happened thereafter was just a series of other incidents. This downward spiral, people refer to it as, do you know anybody that has had an incident, an acute injury or illness or a reaction to a medication, and then their life just tends to spiral out of control? These are iatrogenic deaths. And right now, here's a visual for you. Imagine a fully loaded 747, full of passengers, the crew, everything, crashing, burning. Every single person on that aircraft dies, right? Tragic, awful. But imagine that happening every single day of the year, 365 days a year. That's how many people are dying every year in the United States from these adverse drug reactions, which are truly iatrogenic, okay? Why is this? Why are we experiencing this? We're experiencing this because, to be fair to the doctors, They don't. What choice do they have? How do you prescribe a medication? You study about it. You try to understand the indications and the contraindications. Listen to a pharmaceutical commercial, okay? It's going to be 50%, 25% of the message is, here's how we'll help you. This is what this will do for you. It'll help you, control your urinary urges, it'll help you with pain, it'll help you with whatever, high blood pressure, whatever it might be. And then you hear all of the contraindications, all the warnings, and just listen to them. Just listen to them. A lot of the adverse potential reactions are way worse than the condition we're trying to treat in the first place. And again, this is not the doctor's fault. I mean, there are good doctors and there are bad doctors, just like there are good lawyers and bad lawyers and good mechanics and bad mechanics, right? I mean, let's be honest about it. But I'm not suggesting there's some conspiracy in the healthcare system where doctors are bad players. They're not. They're taking what knowledge and information we have and they're offering it to us and they're leaving it to us to decide. That's the point. They're leaving it to us. We need to be able to come back with our own independent information and questions. And the questions are why and why not. Are you with me on that? So with my mom, okay, we couldn't control it. We didn't know what to say or what to do. It's kind of like Russian roulette. What the doctors are forced to do is say, here, let George, you have high blood pressure. I want you to try this medication. Let's see how it works. Okay, it really is trial and error. And again, what choice do they have? Try this, see what happens. If this is what we're looking for. If you get headaches, you get lightheaded, whatever, and then they'll go through adverse reactions, come in, we'll lower the dose. Or if you don't feel anything, come in and we'll try increasing the dose for you. See if that helps out. Trial and error. And the doctors have not had a medical evidence-based tool to help them in that process. To their defense, you know, there hasn't been much else. And notice something else, right? 100% of my customers with Bentley Baths, their doctors will prescribe the medical hydrotherapy. Why? Because I teach them to ask their doctor, ask them if this therapy would be appropriate for me and will you prescribe it? And they will, because it is. 100% of the time, it's a natural, healthy thing to be doing to your body. So if you ask why, they'll explain to you, or they'll try to explain to you. But it's our job to be able to do that. Do you agree with the statement that knowledge is power? Do you? Then would you also agree with the statement that lack of knowledge would mean lack of power? So that's my message to you today, is we are on the verge of what's called personalized medicine. Personalized medicine for everyone. I mean, that's the technology. That's where we're headed. We need to be asking for and expecting more personalization, and that is our responsibility. We have to be the ones who do that. I told you the story about my sweetheart, Gabby, who's a cancer survivor, and the chemo surgery, the whole deal, right? It was very serious. And by the way, she will tell you that what got her through that was humor. More than anything else, it was humor. But chemo is very, very toxic, of course. It's very hard on the human body, right? Very, very toxic. But that's the purpose, right? We're trying to kill a very serious disease. At her six-year anniversary, she was supposed to go off chemo. She was taking a pill form of chemo, and the doctor told her that he wanted her to continue for another 5 years with another medication. And my question to him was, what? You know already, right? Was why? Why are you recommending that Gabby continue to take this toxic chemical for five more? It was a different chemo, and this is what the doctor said. There are some doctors who believe they've had a few patients who may have seen benefit by taking this pharmaceutical for an extra 5 years. That was the reasoning behind, and that's a quote. I mean, you know, I can't make it up. I mean, it's stuck in my head. But the point was, did Gabby take that? She did. And why? Why? Because we didn't have any evidence. We didn't have any knowledge or information to counteract what her oncologist was recommending to her. You see, we trust him. We believe in him. He has much more knowledge than we do. So she did. But it started the conversation. Started the conversation. And guess what? In agreement with her oncologist, she is no longer taking that chemo. They mutually agreed to no longer take it, but it was a question that was left open. Are you with me there? So doctors are guessing. And what I want to tell you about, the bottom line today, is with individualized medicine, there is a test, a genetic-based test that we can all take. It used to cost around $50,000 a pop. It doesn't anymore. And I'm challenging you today to find out more about this. It's called pharmacogenetics. Google it. Pharmacogenetics. It's a genetic test. It's a swab in the mouth. It's non-invasive, very simple. And we can do genetic markers and actually identify exactly how your unique body will react to the major pharmaceuticals that are being prescribed in the United States today. And what you'll get back from this test is like a blueprint. If we'd have had this for my mom, we would have known, her doctor would have known that she was genetically a rapid metabolizer of this medication and would have been able to consider a different therapeutic model for her. Pharmacogenetic testing is really on the top of the list at places like the Mayo Clinic, Vanderbilt University Medical Center, Johns Hopkins, Duke Medical Center, St. Jude's Children's Hospital. You can go on Google and YouTube, and, you know, Dr. Oz has a segment on it. I'm telling you, this technology is coming into its own. I can help connect you. I'm not involved in this in any way at all, but if you'll call in or go to the Bentley Baz website, bentleybaz.com, call us at 303-388-8887, go to social media, whatever. However you want to get in touch with us, I'll help refer you to some clinics and resources. Right now, my understanding is most health insurance will pay for this. It's my understanding Medicare will pay for it. So the clinic that I'm aware of will not bill a patient for the test. They get paid for it, but they're going to get paid by insurance or whoever else. So if you're interested in this, again, it's non-invasive. It's a mouth swab. But the point is once a lifetime, rest of life results that you'll know, and your doctor will know, and we can take the guesswork out of it. Columbia University and Cornell University call this precision prescriptions. Precision prescriptions. So this test is truly about a step into individualized medicine and a technology that can really, really help us as we go through life. Like I said, next time we're going to have an expert guest on the show, Mr. Mark McIntosh, and then we've got some other guests lined up coming down the road. So, you know, be looking for that. We're going to start talking about natural pain management processes. I want to spend some time talking to you about therapies like medical hydrotherapy and our Rejuvederm processes. These are all natural pain management processes that you can have in your home 24/7. And what we're really looking for is temperature appropriate, sanitary, non-aggressive, whole body massage. And that's something that will replace exercise for us as we age or if we're infirm or sick, because we can stimulate our lymphatic system without having to abuse our body. I'll talk to you about our Rejuvederm microbubble system. That's a huge therapy for skin. I mean, I've got it in my Bentley bath, and it's an amazing skin therapy. Our skin is our largest organ on our body. And skin health is very important as we age. Our skin thins, our connective tissues weaken. We're going to talk about therapies, how we can naturally stimulate our microcapillaries and things of that nature. So, stay tuned. We got a lot of fun stuff coming down the road. Also, want to leave you with a thought here. And that thought is, when my mom fell in 2003, my dad was taking, I think, 7 prescription meds, as I mentioned earlier. He made a decision after my mom died that he would not ever go into a nursing home, and he was going to do whatever he could to become healthy and vibrant. He's now 99 years old, and as I said earlier, he's healthier now than he was at 83. Brain work, organ function, blood work, endurance, how do you measure it, right? My dad's younger at 99 than he was at 83. October 21, 2007 was a big day, and that was the day my dad went drug-free. That was the day. It took about 4 years, but my dad was finally able to go off of all prescription medications on that day. So it can be done. Now, at 99 years old, he had his heart valve replaced, and he's taken some fluid medications to help him keep fluid off his lungs, and he's taking a little light dose of medication to help him with his blood pressure, right? But that's, again, we're using it in a calculated way. So, again, George Bentley, this is Being Young at Any Age, your self-directed guide to optimizing your happiness, your health, and your vitality, no matter what your current challenges might be. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Call us at 303-388-8887, 303-388-8887, or visit us at BentleyBaz.com. We'll have our website up and our YouTube channel and all the social media stuff in the next few weeks. So stay tuned, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks for listening to Being Young at Any Age with George Bentley. Tune in next weekend to learn how to create a roadmap to achieve happiness, health, and wellness today on EZ 1430.